Welcome to The Schmooze with Rabbi Levi Mintz, Rabbi of Congregation Beth Israel and co-director of Chabad for Seif, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Heish. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at office@jewishforsife.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz and his co-host, Tim House, on North Georgia's News Talk, AM 550 WDUN. Yes, it is the Schmooze. Bill Main hanging out with Rabbi Levi Mintz. Rabbi, how are you today?
Bill, it's great to be together with you, together with all of our listeners. Excited for a vibrant schmooze together this morning.
Looking forward to it. And, you know, one of the exciting things is hearing all the new things that are going on there with the synagogue there in Forsyth. So what's the latest on your building project?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we literally got the sewer all lined up. We just got the, you know, before we take down the old house, those are familiar with our 10-acre property. So there's two houses that were on the lot. One is 6,500 square feet. Very good bones. We're actually going to re-transform it to be the Youth and Education Center. But there was another house, which we've been using, you know, over the last few years. Bones are really not that great, so it's going to have to come down. But I didn't know this, but you actually got to take, like, a test before you demolish a facility, just to make sure that, I guess, that there's nothing in the windows or in the wood that can spread anything that's harmful. So we just got that test done the other day. Got to wait 5 business days. We get the okay, the thumbs up, and we're going to begin demolishing. Could you imagine?
Oh, wow. There you go. That's fantastic. I know you guys are excited about that.
Yeah, and I was reading that there's actually like a, I don't know if you ever heard about this, there's like a anger therapy that there's like a whole concept that people who have just like deep trauma from past negative experiences. So there's this thing called anger therapy where you actually pay money to go to like places when they give you like a bat and you like break glass and bowls and dishes and furniture. And it's supposed to be like this like method of like letting it all out.
Uh-huh.
So I think maybe we should open up like a little side hustle for like a week at the synagogue, maybe to raise funds so that if you want for 30 minutes with a donation of $500, you can come in and get all of your anger therapy done. What do you think, Bill?
I think it would work. I know there'd be a lot of people lining up for that because it's been a lot of anxiety lately, that's for sure.
So let's do it.
Yeah.
Raise funds for the synagogue.
And have fun at the same time. I like that. We put the fun in fundraising, right?
Of course.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. I know you're excited to see the plan start to come together. And we've talked about this a little bit before, but what is your timeline when you think you'll be able to get into these new spaces?
It's a great question. Our arrangement that we have with the general contractor is that it's a 12-month process, a 12-month plan. So from the moment that we begin grading, we should expect to have the ribbon cutting 12 months later. Now, of course, there's life, there's nature, there's things that are beyond our control. Everything at the end of the day is in God's time, not in our time. And so we have to hope for the best. Hopefully that we'll get in even, you know, quicker. Why not? Why worry about getting in later? Let's pray that we can get in quicker. But the good news is that we're blessed with 10 acres of property. Beyond the 10 acres of property, we also have a Youth and Education Center, which is already very much accessible. So it gives us a place that we can still operate. Obviously, it's not like in the way it's going to be with the new synagogue and
sure,
the beautiful facility, but at least gives us an opportunity to be able to do the things that we need to do. And it's happening, meaning we just had the kickoff of Jewish Education of Judah that just happened last week, and just seeing all the kids and all the young families coming, the hustle and the bustle is amazing. Last weekend, we had a big kickoff Shabbat where they're, you know, all the families came together to celebrate, and we have young CBI for the young families. So we're very lucky. You know, a lot of times you have synagogues or churches that are beginning a construction process and they don't really have a place on the facility to be able to continue to function. And we're very lucky that we have that. So we can continue to doing what we do and provide a community space for the area.
Don't you love the energy, especially because you started Judah School, you've opened that up, and all this project. Don't you love the energy that comes together out of this? People just really get charged, and you can feel it.
It's my favorite time of the year. It's a new beginnings. Everyone's re-inspired, And then on the Jewish calendar, we have the High Holidays, which is a time for introspection and for inner thinking and for getting everything, you know, getting life back together again. And there's nothing like that fresh start. The fresh start is beautiful. It smells great. It's like when you cut grass. You smell that green. And that's the energy that's going on at this time. It's a beautiful, beautiful time.
Okay, now I often do this. I have to show you what I don't know so I can learn. And that is just, we talked last time about Rosh Hashanah and the Jewish New Year and the introspection and getting set for the new year. Does your new year 12 months as it is in the Julian calendar? Because if it is, then you guys will be back to the Jewish New Year and celebrating your new beginning then.
So it depends. Some years are 12 months, some years are 13 months.
Okay.
Meaning, here's the idea. The idea is that the solar calendar and the lunar calendar are a bit off.
They are.
And so what ends up happening is that every 3 years, you end up, as a general rule, you end up going back about 30 days. You fall back. And here's the issue. The issue is that it says in the book of Exodus that the Passover should be celebrated in the spring. So if we didn't influence the calendar, what would end up happening is that Passover would start rolling back because our months are done by the lunar calendar. And the moon has about a 29 and a bit day rotation. So if we were only keeping up with the moon, the lunar calendar, but the seasons are based on the sun. So what would end up happening is that when it would come the month of Passover, we would end up being pushing back and it would go back into the winter.
Right.
And then with time, every year it would go crazy.
Yeah.
So the only way that we could anchor that Passover is always in spring is that every few years we add another month to push things up, to realign.
Yeah.
So that the lunar and the solar calendar are working together.
Yeah, so the solar calendar, we get a leap year with just a day, but with the lunar calendar is totally different.
Correct. So in the Jewish leap year, we add a month.
Okay.
So most years it's 12 months, and then some years we get a second month, and that's the leap year.
You leap a lot further than most of us in that case, right?
Hey, we're ready to do whatever we got to do. Just tell us how high. We're ready to jump.
I love it. Having a good time on the Schmooze. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back with a question for Ask a Rabbi. You up for that?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll be right back. Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Back on the Schmooze, Rabbi Levi Mintz answering the questions today as we ask the rabbi. And Rabbi Mintz, I am curious. I've never really walked in your shoes before. I do not know what it is like to be a Jew in the modern age. What does it mean to be Jewish in the contemporary time? And what are some of the challenges maybe that you face as such?
Fantastic question. And Bill, all I can tell you, it is the greatest time to be a Jew ever. Just copy that, repeat over and over and over and over and over again. Let me tell you something, Bill. I'm a grandchild of Holocaust survivors.
Oh, wow.
I know what it means to hear about the stories of Jews that lived in previous generations. And let's call a spade a spade. For Jews in the last 2,000 years in the diaspora has been a very, very, very difficult time to be Jewish. We were shunned. We were ostracized. We were not allowed to be a part of civilization. We couldn't do certain businesses. We couldn't own certain properties. We couldn't live in certain places. Jews were literally driven out of countries. To be a Jew is very, very difficult. When you think about the Jewish history for the last 2,000 years, and especially how it came to its height during the time of the Holocaust or in Russia under Stalin, and all of a sudden you fast forward today, A Jew is free. A Jew can celebrate Judaism like never before. A Jew can study the Torah like never before. A Jew can be engaged 100% in their faith like never before. But it's not only as a Jew, as an individual, spiritually and physically, because today also physically a Jew could engage in business and purchase property and be engaged with the world like any other citizen, like any other person in the Western world. But think about the influence that a Jew can have. Now all of a sudden a Jew can be a Jew, right? What does it mean to be a Jew? A Jew came to Mount Sinai after the Exodus of Egypt, and God said, I want you to be my light onto the nations. I want you to be my ambassador to the world of goodness and kindness. And for the last 2,000 years, the Jew was silenced. And all of a sudden now it's the very first time that we are able to be a voice to the world on so many different levels and so many different places. First of all, you look at what's going on in Israel. Could you imagine that the Jewish people have now have a place where they can secure and protect themselves? If you would ask a Jew 100 years ago, could you ever imagine that majority of Jewish people would be back in their ancestral homeland? They would have told you, you're out of your mind. There's no way that that's ever happening. It's happening.
Yeah.
If you ever would think that in that land would be from the top earners, meaning the GDP in terms of economics that's coming out of that land, they would say you are losing your mind. What if you would ask the Jew 100 years ago that this place in Israel would actually be leaned upon by for intelligence, for military purposes, from the world? They would have said you're drinking something. You got to put down the bottle. But that's what's happening today.
Yeah. Most
it's
definitely.
Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Now, let's go a little bit closer to home. A few nights ago, we had a leadership meeting at the synagogue. And we invited one of the representatives of the Forsyth County School System. And she was speaking about our collaboration with the Forsyth County School System. And for those who are not aware, but the synagogue partnered with the Forsyth County School System with a project that's called ARC, Acts of Routine Kindness. And every single day, in every single classroom, every single teacher is encouraging every single student to start their day routinely first with an act of kindness. And the thought is that if we are kind routinely, then we'll become kinder people.
It becomes a habit.
It becomes a habit, exactly. And the representative was speaking. She was saying, first of all, this program is amazing. It took off. It's unbelievable. But internally, she says, we were speaking internally that this would never have happened 15 years ago. Could you imagine that the Forsyth County School System has formally partnered with who? With the Jewish community, with the synagogue. About kindness, which is a project which is beautiful and elevated, and everyone's on board with. But if you would have asked a Jew 100 years ago, could you ever envision a day where a synagogue, where a group of Jews would have such close relations with a school system, and you'd have thousands of children being kind every day due to the inspiration that the Jewish community partnered with that school system? Again, they would have said, you're off your rockers. There's no way that something like this could ever happen. But it's happening. So if you're asking me, what is it like to be a Jew today? It's amazing. We're free. We can serve God in our faith, in our tradition. We have all of the rights like all other people. And it's the first time in 2,000 years that actually the world is interested in hearing what a Jew has to say. They're curious. Tell us your tradition. Tell us your ideas. Tell us what you believe in. And it's the very first time that as Jews, we can share this beautiful tradition of the beautiful ideas that as a world, united, Jew and Gentile, all of us, one globe, one world, we can make this world a better and a brighter place through kindness, through acts of good deeds. And so this is an incredible thing. And it's an unbelievable blessing. And I got to tell you, Bill, you know, people always ask me, you know, how often do you have anti-Semitic experiences? And here's the truth. I've been blessed to now live in North Georgia for 8 years, and I haven't yet experienced one anti-Semitic anti-Semitic incident.
That is fantastic.
Not
really
one.
Is.
Yeah. Not one. Not one. Not one. So, yes. Are there incidences that have been globally? Absolutely. But I want to share with you an important stat. You know, every single year, the ADL, it does these does research on where anti-Semitism is at in the country, not only in America, but around the world. And what's happening over the years is that there are less anti-Semites. How do they do that? Every single year, they ask a few hundred people questions, yes or no questions, and they're all based on, like, historical anti-Semitic tropes. You know, do you believe this? Do you believe that?
Right.
And what they have seen is that today we are living in a time where there are much less anti-Semites in the world than ever before. It seems like we see so many anti-Semitic incidences. Welcome to the World Wide Web. Welcome to what happens on Facebook. A guy can sit in a basement and write something negative online, and all of a sudden it makes waves. Now, it's horrible. But it's not a reflection on the people on the ground. And so we're living in a time that is extremely tolerant, extremely welcoming, more than ever. And you know, there was a member of the synagogue. You'll find this funny, Bill. There was a member of the synagogue that reached out, and he asked the same question. He's like, "I'm afraid to tell my employees that I'm Jewish." I said, "Why are you afraid?"
Why?
He's like, He's like, "Because if I tell my employees that I'm Jewish, then, you know, I'm worried that it will ruin my business relationships. I'm worried that it would get in the way of my friendships. I just feel like I'm better just to keep it an absolute secret." And by the way, this person, on a personal level, is a very proud Jew. So we're only talking about letting the cat out of the bag,
yeah.
Letting all of the people know that this guy is a Jewish guy. So I said, "What are you worried about?" So he's telling me all the reasons. So when I told him that I have yet to have one anti-Semitic experience, now I'm not saying there won't be one that will come. There may be one. But you have to understand, I'm here for 8 years. I'm a rabbi. I look very Jewish. You would think one, two, three, four, not one. So I told him, I told this guy, I said, "You know what? Let's do something before the high holidays. Are you with me?" He says, "What's the idea?" I said, "Let's identify a county in the state of Georgia that you know no one. You're not worried about bumping into a business partner, bumping into a friend of a friend, like literally for you, nowhere town, Georgia. And this is what we'll do. We'll go together for 2 hours. I'm going to wear my yarmulke, my head covering. You'll go with the head covering," because he usually doesn't wear one because he's not going to identify as a Jew. "You know, if you want, you can put on a Star of David necklace, and we'll spend 2 hours walking up and down Main Street. And let's see what actually happens. And I would be certain that what you will be shocked to see is at the end of those 2 hours, you're going to have so many lovely Americans coming to you and saying, 'Are you Jewish? Wow, that's beautiful.' And they'll get into a real nice, warm conversation. And I would guarantee it that there won't be one anti-Semitic incident." I said, "You got to first ask your wife permission. I understand this, you know, there's a lot on the table,
yeah.
But let's do it." And we're actually going to do it in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, fantastic. That's great.
And and I'm excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. But it really highlights that when asked the question, "What is it like being a Jew today in America?" There's never been a better time. Never been a better time. For real. And I just say it again and again and again. Now, what's the biggest challenge then? Here's the biggest challenge. The biggest challenge is that when you put a Jew in a free world, they no longer have to be reminded that they're a Jew due to anti-Semitism. It used to be that Jews were reminded every single day that they were Jewish because of all the things they couldn't do. So it was impossible to assimilate because all of the negative circumstances were constantly reminding the Jew that they're a Jew. So what happens to a Jew today where that negative reminders don't exist anymore? So now all of a sudden, being engaged as a Jew needs to come 100% from the soul, from within, meaning a longing to fulfill the reason that I was created, to be a part of the answer, to live a life as a Jew and to incorporate all of the meaning and the purpose in my own life. But now, as a Jew in America, I got to choose it for myself. I got to choose it for myself. And that's the biggest challenge. But what I think, it's like democracy, right? In America, what do we say about Americans? We say, you can never tell an American to do anything, but you can teach an American to do everything. And I think that's the same thing with the modern-day Jew in America. Today, you can no longer tell a Jew to do anything, but we can teach a Jew to do everything, meaning we can be educated, we can inspire, we can motivate, we can have that soulful longing. And that's the great blessing of being an American Jew today, is that today when a Jew engages Jewishly, it is not because of anti-Semitism, it's not because of the ghetto, it's not because of not having certain rights. Today when a Jew is engaged, it's completely soulful. It's the soul saying, I want this in my life, and I want to live specifically a Jewish life. And I got to tell you, there's something beautiful about that, because when a person is living their life because of a choice, not because of circumstance, it's a whole new level of commitment.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up in that light. What I first heard, or what my mind jumped to start with when you brought that up is, it does, as you said, as a challenge, at least you're not having the anti-Semitic reminder. But at the same time, you have to make sure that you are true to your Judaism, that you remember, I am a Jew, and these are the things as a Jew that I'm now free to do, and I need to do that and respect what's taught you in the law and the Torah, and to be able to do that now that you can.
100%.
Yeah, intentionality is everything, I think, in fulfilling your calling in life. You have to be intentional about it. It doesn't always just happen to you. You're called to do something, and you have a responsibility to answer that and be intentional. And I never looked at it that way, and that's amazing. I really, that's a neat way to look at it.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, when you're able to do what you're able to do and not have to be reminded in a negative way, but in a positive way. Real fast here, we've got about 2 minutes here, and I know this is probably not fair. We may have to do this on a different show, but what is next, do you see, as far as the Jewish people are concerned? I don't know what it says in the prophecies in the Torah as to how things are to play out. I know from a Christian standpoint what we believe, but what about for Judaism?
Great question. Judaism is the only thought, the thinking process of all faiths that describes the end of days. Let's call it that.
Okay.
Where everyone is together and heaven comes down to earth. Judaism doesn't think of a day where there's going to be one day only Jews. And then that day, only Jews will go to heaven. The vision of the Torah is that God created the world with a purpose, and all of humanity with a purpose, and all of creation with a purpose, and that one day civilization will come to a time where all of us, with our unique talents, characters, character traits, roles, will be able to come together with unconditional love and acceptance, and we will be able to live together in a united, harmonious way. And at that point, God will be revealed in this world and heaven will come down to earth. And I think that if we're talking about a time in history where we're closer to that dream, I really believe it's the time that we're living today, because it's the first time that all people are finally opening up doors, opening up their hearts, opening up their ears, and are interested in listening and living together. And we're making our world a more holy place. We're done with running away from the world. Now we're all focused on how we can make this world a better place.
That is beautiful, Rabbi, and a great place to wrap up. Great schmooze with you today. Thanks for spending time with me. I really appreciate it. This has been fantastic as always.
Always, and let's never forget, L'chaim to life. Let's always infuse life into life.
The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at office@jewishforsife.org.